right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Sussnow. Thanks for tuning in to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that hopefully will inspire you to greatness, to inspire you to do things that you haven't done before, to do things perhaps that you always wanted to do, but you gave up on, and to just feel like you're coming alive and to get this attitude of, wow, I can do this and I can really make this happen. And each week I invite some amazing people to kind of share with us, share their journey, share their experience. And this person today, Catherine Kemp Guiley, I believe is how you say it. Is that right, Catherine? Did I get
you
that right?
You got it. Perfect. Mm-hmm.
All right.
You got it.
So let me, she's been on the show before, and she's a speaker, a certified nutritional counselor, coach, educator, and she has an MBA. And this is something that I've been impressed with. In 2016 and 2017, she was named Woman of the Year by the National Association of Professional Women. She's the award-winning and best-selling author of 5 books, and she's on a mission to help others be happier, healthier, and more productive. Now, she's not a perfectionist. She's more about making life fun. And as long as we're on this planet, let's take what we ordinarily do and make that experience fun. And that's something that I totally believe in, is that to be able to take our everyday life and just make it fun. And to me, it's an attitude. And Catherine's also been on ABC, CBS, NPR. She has 2 of her own podcasts, Mountain Mantras and Wellness and Life Lessons on the Slopes, and also Positive on Publishing that I've been on, been her guest. And she has some interesting books. And one of them I just thought would be a great way to kind of introduce Catherine in terms of leading into our conversation. One of her books is called Where Does a Rainbow Grow? And I'm intrigued by that, Catherine. So welcome to the Inspire Possibility Show, and let's talk about rainbows.
I love that. And thank you so much, Mark, for having me on your show. It's such an honor, and I'm excited to talk about rainbows and anything else that comes up. The story about why we decided to write Where Does a Rainbow Grow? And that is a sequel to Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow. It's a funny story. So I was going around to all these schools, and we were doing readings, and we were doing rainbow days with kids, and the parents and the teachers loved it, and the kids were getting the book. And the first book, Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, teaches kids about the importance of eating a variety of colors of fruits and vegetables, and they eat the rainbow, and there's a magical element to the story and a journey. Anyway, so the kids were just getting really into eating their colors. Now, I have sneaky little kids, too. I love them dearly. But there was a couple of kids in these classes that would just say to me, well, I'm going to get my rainbow in the form of a Skittles packet or something, or Starbucks, mm-hmm. or Lucky Charms. Mm-hmm. And we went, oh, no, like back to the drawing board. We need to create a sequel that makes it crystal clear and fun that a rainbow for your body that helps your body comes from Mother Earth. And so I'm so excited about the sequel because it introduces a new character called Sammy, who is a bunny, and this bunny is sort of peeking out in the pages, and the kids have so much fun finding Sammy on the pages. And Sammy takes the character Blake, who could either be a boy or a girl, so it's really fun. The kids can really identify with Blake. it takes Blake on a journey to find out where does a rainbow come from, and they end up at a farm, and it becomes a book about plant identification by color, and then, you know, that whole farm-to-table concept that I love so much. So that's Where Does a Rainbow Grow? So much fun.
Mm-hmm. So on the farm, in the earth, are vegetables.
Yes,
one thing I've been trying to do is thinking about the colors of the rainbow in the food I eat. When I sometimes go to the health food store, they have a salad bar, and I pick all the colors, purple, red, green, all of them, black, almost any color imaginable, white onions, and that's something I've been really thinking about. It, you know, what about though, on a, let's say, more of a metaphysical level, what does the rainbow signify to you?
Oh my gosh, I've been doing so much work with the rainbow and food. I almost always go to food. And I just have to say, on that topic, you just mentioned all the different colors that you put on your plate from a salad bar.
Yeah.
Every color from a scientific level does do something for your body. You know, so the red is really good for your heart and for your brain, and orange and yellow for your eyes and for your immune system, and green for your teeth and bones, and on and on and on. And yes, white, very good for, you know, your digestion, because it's high in fiber and there's potassium in there. So anyway, I really go to food. But when you say metaphysical, you mean kind of beyond. I think of a rainbow as a journey,
mm-hmm.
because that's what you're. It's sort of a,
right.
To use your language, you know, the soul of uncertainty. It's uncertain where it ends, and there's something beautiful about that. Like, where does it end?
mm-hmm. Right, and does it end? Or, if it ends, then there, yeah, there's always a, you know, does it really end? Is it just are we just transitioning, you know, to new thinking, to new possibilities? You know, I talk a lot about the rainbow effect and the soul of uncertainty, and it came from my time in Kauai, which I'm actually going to be going there in a couple of weeks. I'll be visiting Kauai, and which is my second home. And a lot of times there'd be these dark days, there'd be overcast, but it would be warm. And you knew that somewhere there was a rainbow. And mm-hmm. so you would still go to the beach, knowing at some point, if you looked hard enough and you kept looking, you see a rainbow. You just knew. And in the islands, there's always this expression, no rain, no rainbows. So I always...
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of, if we look hard enough and we don't give up, then we can start to see possibilities that really lead to this wonderful feeling of just warms our heart. And when I see a rainbow, it warms my heart. And so that's why I was so intrigued with the title of that book.
Well, kids and adults alike love rainbows.
Yeah, they're magical.
Yeah.
Totally
yeah.
Magical. And let's talk about your awards for the 2016 and 2017, being named Woman of the Year for the Association of Professional Women. And tell us about that organization and how they come about to include you in the select company. How did that come about?
Yeah, well, I have to say, I love men too, but there's something wonderful about girl power and, you know, kind of bringing that women power into business. And I actually started a women's entrepreneur group in our local incubator. So we have an incubator in Ketchum, which I'm in Sun Valley, but basically that's almost the same thing. It's just the town that's close to Sun Valley, Idaho. And we have the Ketchum Innovation Center there, the KIC. And I started this women's entrepreneur group there, and it's been so much fun and so successful. And in fact, we have these meetings and we teach about all different things, everything from the outer game, you know, like how to do QuickBooks and how to do lean launches and things like that, to the inner game, like how to overcome under-earning and things like that. And it was really funny. At one point, I did say to the group, should we invite the men because we're having so much fun? And they all said, no.
Right.
So I think, you know, there's that, and there's also the fact that I'm doing so many different things in different areas. You know, I do work in publishing and in nutrition and in wellness and in coaching and online courses. I guess when you get to be as wide-reaching as that, you get noticed by these national organizations. And so they actually reached out to me, and so that's how it happened. But it's interesting, you know, on that whole point of maybe there are listeners out there that go, yeah, I'm kind of like that too. I'm interested in a lot of things. Like, I, you know, publishing and nutrition, they're not really that related, but they're something
right.
that I'm very passionate about. And my website guy, you know, for years would just say, Catherine, you're such a nightmare to market because
yeah.
you love so many things that it's really hard to kind of put you into like a little niche. And everybody knows how important niche marketing is. And finally,
right.
you know, I just decided that my trademark thing is going to be fun. And that's how I get everything done. Ooh, that rhymes. But that's how I came up with this umbrella idea of make everything fun. And so that includes my work in the business world. It includes make nutrition fun. It includes make publishing fun and make wellness fun. And so if anybody's listening and thinking, like, yeah, I'm interested in a lot of things too, how do I get past that? I think sometimes it's just a matter of zooming out. And then, as you say, Mark, that zooming out process might inspire you to new things and to greatness.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm wondering is, how do you inspire people to, I mean, this idea of make your life fun, how do you do that? I mean, it's a great concept. And I notice that everything that you're, as your marketing strategies, make publishing fun, make this fun, make nutrition fun. How do you make it fun other than saying you want to make it fun? How do you go about, that's really the big question is, okay, it's a great idea, Catherine, but how do I make it fun? I mean, my life is like this. I'm, you know, going to work. I don't think it's fun. And how do you get there?
Right, and that's where the verticals come in terms of nutrition or wellness or publishing. And let's just take publishing, for example. So what I first did is I figured out what wasn't fun about publishing. In fact, I did
mm-hmm.
a survey. It took me a couple months to do this. I mean, I do a lot of market research before I put anything out there, and I took a couple months to survey authors across traditionally published, hybrid, and then self-published, and I figured out sort of, you know, what they paid on different processes in the publishing process, how many books they sold, everything from development all the way through, you know, editing and printing and distribution and marketing and publicity. And then I did a survey study that I kind of, again, did the zoom out thing, and I said, and I did some happiness factor questions too, and I said, where are people not having fun in the publishing industry, and where are people having a lot of fun? And then I created, and actually there are some really terrible horror stories about people that were tricked by people that, you know, took their money, or they signed contracts that they wanted to get out of, or they just misunderstood what a publisher was going to do for them and ended up being very disappointed. I've heard, actually the worst story was a woman that went bankrupt because she just kept throwing money after a process that she had never really budgeted. So when I say I make publishing fun, I started with those pain points, and then I found the little happiness points in there, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to create a course, and there's community too, and community makes everything fun. And so I created a course, which actually is free for people. You can actually just go to makepublishingfun.com, and you can click on the courses and the introductory course. You can just start it right away. And it gets you right into how you can make your publishing journey fun. And a lot of it is avoiding pitfalls, because those pitfalls are usually what stymie people and get people stuck. And I help
right.
people to avoid that.
So avoid the pitfalls.
Okay. Oh, that's the first thing. No one's having fun if they're unhappy.
Right. So would you say that making fun, what I was kind of getting the sense of is that your attitude is about you can make anything fun. Is that kind of stretching it, or do you think that's possible?
Oh, gosh, that's a
Or is that just a wish of mine?
Yeah. Yeah, that's like saying, you know, can you ever have perfect life balance? And I don't believe in the word perfect anyway. I mean, I don't think when I'm necessarily cleaning a toilet I'm having fun, right? But but there are ways to make everything just a little bit better, you know, sort of the optimization thing. But if you're going to spend a lot of time on something, if you're going to write a book, if you're going to publish something, if you're going to spend a lot of time making yourself well and really committing to nutrition and wellness, it has to be fun or people will give up.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what it's really about.
What
those things
what
that
I'm
people
getting
really
at is
spend a lot of time.
Maybe we can just for now, for a few minutes, brainstorm, because we both like to do that. Let's just see if we could come up with a strategy to make anything more fun. I mean, what you're saying is maybe not fun, but better, more enjoyable.
Yeah, and I'm
I know
about,
one thing.
Yeah.
You know, one thing is I'm not big in the kitchen, but I do meditate, and so now I've gotten into juicing. For the last 4 or 5 months, I've been juicing. Got a new juicer, and all these colors you're talking about, I get. You know, the carrots, I get beets, and not only with beets, there are different colored beets, and there's different color kale, and turmeric, and ginger, and celery. And so I'm getting all these things, so I enjoy when I go to the health food store, I'm kind of on a mission, and what I do now is for my evening juicing, when I make the juice, I look at it, oh, it's a meditation. I put on some music and this is my meditation on juicing. And so I've kind of played around with that. And it's kind of worked with the juicing, this idea of, or making it into a game. When our family used to go to Kauai, it was a long drive from the airport to our house. And so I made up this game. I called it the car game, and we would guess how many cars would come by us in the opposite direction. And all the kids, we'd take a guess. And after a while, they didn't want to play anymore. So I said, okay, that's okay. I'll pick a number for you. And of course, when it got closer to the number I picked for them, all of a sudden they're interested. So one strategy I've used is make it into a meditation or make it into a game. And I found those things, or I ask myself, I wonder what the highlight of the event might be. And so those are some of the things I do, and wondering if you can kind of add to that.
Yeah, so I like that. I like, and actually the whole idea of making something into a meditation is something that Andrew Weil always talks about when he washes the dishes. And my dad, as a scientist, whenever he washed the test tubes, you know, that was just giving his brain a break, and then he kind of used it as his moving meditation. So, you know, meditations, games you mentioned, highlights, rhymes. I use rhymes a lot when I'm in classrooms with kids. And yeah, and trying to make, you know, something, I don't want to try something, and so I make it into a rhyme. You already mentioned games, but I'm going to just throw in something that I think is really important, and that's community. And I think whenever you're going to spend a lot of time doing anything, it's really more fun when you have your friends. You got to find your friends. So that's a big one in terms of making things fun.
So to develop that sense of belonging.
Right. In the studies on nutrition that talk about, is there a magic elixir that you can eat, you know, that Dan Buettner looked at with his five, you know, blue zones, the answer came down to connection. People that feel a connection to something greater or purpose, they are the ones that live longer and better. So that community piece is so critical, and it's proven, I think, in subjective ways, because we all feel better when we have support. And it's proven in science.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely feeling a connection is huge. And I found that what's worked for me is about connection, is to really get the other person rather than chime in about us, to really get a sense of, or judging them, you know, who they are, and not only what are their words, but what's behind the words? Where are they, you know, who they really are and what's important to them, to really get what's important to somebody is I think I found one of the greatest tools to connecting with people, because I think that's, everybody has a desire to connect. Everybody does.
And, you know, yeah, and in this world, this online world, this digital world, what you're talking about is you're talking about those deeper connections. And I think that that
yes.
can be a challenge today, and so we really have to work on that. I mean, I'll just give you an example. So I'm launching a course on publishing with Carol Klein, who is a New York Times number one bestselling author and really just one of the most gifted writers in terms of teaching others as well. And so we talked about how we can really, and you know, to use your language, kind of deeply understand our students. And the way that we really came up with it was to put people into a cohort. And rather than just like sign people up and have people take the content, we really kind of made it so people are signing up at the same time, they're starting at the same time. We limited the number of students. We're full right now. And we're just focusing on that group of people. And then what you can do when you go deeper, like you said, kind of understand how people tick, is then you can start to put people together, which is super cool. And that's really only available when you do smaller group sessions in these like online courses. So I'm just thinking, you know, it's the challenge of today's world. We want to reach more people. We want to help more people. But how do we keep it real and how do we keep it deep?
Yeah. So about keeping it real and keeping it deep, how do people get a hold of you to kind of get some
sure.
of that?
Sure, sure. So my hub website is makeeverythingfun.com, and that's really, that's the place to go. And on there I've got my social media, and you can also go to my different, you know, publishing or nutritional wellness from there. And I respond to emails, and I love to hear from readers. So if people want to go, they can check out my books or my podcast or my blog. And I love to interact with people and learn more about what makes them tick, because that's how we change the world for the better.
Absolutely. It's amazing. Again, we're having a conversation with Catherine Kemp Gailey, and she's an amazing woman. She's written 5 books. She's got a business, ongoing business. She's got 3 kids, is that right?
I have 2, and then 2 dogs, so
2.
Maybe 4 kids.
Okay, 2 dogs and 2 kids, and somebody that is curious. I would say you're very curious about what's possible in the world. I would really kind of say that about you, is that your curiosity about possibilities is really how I could kind of describe you, as there's a woman that just really wants to see the many different ways that she can inspire people. And I want to thank you for that commitment and that passion and that determination. And probably it's not even an option for you. It's just kind of part of your DNA. This is who you are. It's really, when you do this, it makes you really come alive. And that's kind of the sense I have from our few conversations we have. And thanks for taking that on, making a difference.
Thank you. And I would say I would categorize you in the very same way. And it's a really interesting thing to do, is to try the Strengths Finder. And Mark, I'd love to talk another time about what your top 5 strengths are, because I'm sure you have some, you know, amazing, you know, maximizer or learner or something in there, futuristic.
Right.
But folks listening, that's another great tool to kind of figure out. And let's not focus on the negative, but like focus on what you're really good at and make yourself
yes.
even better. So thank you, Mark. I think you have some amazing strengths as well.
So what right now is what I like to always ask my guests is, believe it or not, we're running out of time, is what right now is your biggest challenge?
Biggest challenge is, okay, so this interesting that I brought up the 5 top strengths in my Strengths Finder.
Yeah,
one of my top 5 is focus, okay? So what I'm challenged with the most right now is that I have a lot going on. Even just if you take my professional life, to kind of switch gears from nutrition to wellness to publishing to the Ketchum Innovation Center, I've been challenged with how do I really block time and chunk things down, because I don't do well switching back and forth.
So it's really, it's focus, it's blocking out time, it's, I'm the same way in a lot of ways, because I have a lot of, like you have many, many interests, and I always have. So it is a challenge, and you just have to be more, you have to be more organized, more focused, and kind of let that smartphone go. Let it sleep for a while.
I know, I don't have it with me.
Don't sleep with it. Don't sleep with it.
No way.
No.
Focus for me is, focus is what I love, but it's finding the time to make the focus time. That's been the challenge. So the thing that's helped me to get there, I love John Lee Dumas's Freedom Journal. And he also has a mastery journal that's specific to productivity, discipline, and focus. But every day I start my morning with the Freedom Journal. What am I grateful for? What's my number one focus? How am I going to get closer to my goals? And just that 5 minutes of journaling every morning really sets the tone for me to overcome that challenge that I said is my biggest current challenge.
Right. What about what right now inspires you?
Gosh, I would say, young people inspire me. I love going to schools and working with kids. And, when I teach something, I learn it the best. My number one strength is learner. Like, I just want to learn. And I learn the most when I teach others. So, yes, kids, but it's also my students also in my online courses and the clients that I coach. They are my inspiration because they allow me to focus on my number one strength, which is learning. And I know that sounds backwards, but it's really like Stephen Covey said, the best way to learn something is to teach it. And that's where I get my inspiration from.
Exactly. And that's what I find is usually when I interview somebody who's written a book, I know without even reading anything about the book, that was an issue of theirs, whatever the title is. I go, okay, what happened in your life was going on when you decided to write this book? And it is, because we want to learn, we teach what we want to learn and that we're curious about. I find sometimes writing for me is really a journey, it's really an exploration. And when I hear about something that I'm really curious about, I'll write about it. And in that process of writing, I get real clarity, and of course, the work we do as coaches, our greatest teachers are our clients, and I'm amazed at some of the things I've learned from coaching all these years now, and the radio shows, the people I get to interact with, people like yourself. Totally, I feel humbled with so many incredible people that I get to have contact with on a weekly basis. That it's inspiring, and I feel like we're all connecting this feeling of belonging to a larger community of kindred souls that all want to make a better world. And I think that's what we're on the path we're on, and so many other people.
Yeah, and you know what else is inspiring is how many people want to tell their story. You were saying when you focus on something for a book, that's a long period of time, you usually need to learn something. I am so inspired by all the people out there that are finally learning that they can express themselves and that their message counts. I'm inspired by all the work that's being done for people to be able to put their thoughts, as Michael Hyatt says, thoughts disentangle as they pass through lips and fingertips. So they gain clarity in their own lives, like you said, and they benefit themselves, but they benefit the world with their words. So that's another big inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're running out of time here. We're going to have to say goodbye temporarily, a temporary goodbye. what do you call a temporary goodbye? So I want to thank you, Catherine, for being the guest again on the Aspire Possibility Show. And I know we're going to have more conversations like this. And to our listeners out there, thanks for listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. And every week we have some inspiring and amazing guests. And until next week, until we meet again, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.